we give you praise. We give you glory. We worship your majesty. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Help me give that clap for Jesus. Make it bigger and better for the Lord. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's just ask God for a word tonight. Father, speak to me. Open my heart. Open my mind. Open my ears. Open my spirit to receive from you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, you may be comfortably seated. We're looking tonight, sir, thank you for this time and this privilege. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. We're looking tonight at the topic, the lifting power of divine encounter. The lifting power of divine encounter. We are here racing and rising by the grace of God. We are here trusting God that by the time we are through from this convention this year, our lives will be lifted and our lives will race faster than expected in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me open your Bibles with me, if you may, to the book of Exodus, chapter 1, chapter 3. We'll read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then now Moses kept the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned around to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said unto Moses, 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 and he said, here I am. Praise the Lord. Tonight we are trusting God that somebody is going to stop and turn aside and pay attention to God in this convention, starting tonight all the way to Friday worship and wonders night. And when you stop and you pause and you pay attention and take a critical close look at what God has to say to you, there shall be a transformation of your life and your destiny. If there is a believer in the house, you shout amen. We want to see tonight some examples from scriptures about people who had encounters with God and their lives were transformed. We want to see people who had encounters with God and they encountered a change of life and destiny. And then we'll close in the next few minutes by looking at what keys we need to be able to arrive at encounters with God. Praise the Lord. The first person that we shall be looking at tonight is Abraham. One encounter with God, beloved brothers and sisters, can transform and will transform your life and destiny. So we'll look at the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 27 and all the way to verse 20. We'll jump 28. Well, let's just look at it. Genesis chapter 11 from verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was, and we jump to verse 30, but Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And when they came unto Haran, they dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 105 years, and Terah died in Haran. But in chapter 12, the next chapter, in verse 1, the Bible says, and now the Lord, chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Praise the Lord. God had, or Abraham rather, had an encounter with God. He had an encounter with God, and that encounter changed his life and destiny. The encounter that Abraham had with God was a life-changing encounter. The encounter, number one, cost Abraham, who was otherwise an insignificant and irrelevant failure, like God's servant has said many times to us, living in his father's house at the age of over 70. He had no home of himself. He had nothing he had achieved. He was a childless, elderly failure living at the expense of his father, until he had an encounter with God. And from a failure, Abraham became the father of faith. B, Abraham was a homeless, as it were, wandering, dwelling in Haran. He didn't actually have an address. And he became the father of the children of Israel. By him, Israel came into the land of Canaan, and they became the possessors of the land of Canaan. And we see today Abraham's children still existing in the land of Israel. Number two is Moses, which we took in our anchor scripture. Moses was a man that was on the run from Pharaoh. The first thing we see about him from Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, is the fact that one encounter that Moses had with God made him, who was a wanderer, to become a wonder. He became a leader. He was the same man that God committed the children of Israel into his hands to lead them through the wilderness into the promised land. He was a man who had one encounter with God at the burning bush, and everything about his life changed. B, Moses had one encounter, and it turned him from a fearful runaway fugitive into a commander and an instructor of the children of Israel. He was fearful. He was on the run. He was a stammerer. He became a man that had an encounter with God, and he became a man of boldness, of audacity, of ferocity, of sagacity. He went back to the same Pharaoh that he had run away from, and he stood before him and gave him instructions, until Pharaoh had no option but to release the captive children of Israel and let them go into their destiny. I'm here to announce to somebody today, whatever was a limitation in your life, whatever was a setback in your life, after this conference, God shall turn your life and your destiny around, and he shall make you the spokesman of your generation. If you are a believer, you shout aloud, amen. Our third reference is Manoah and his wife in the book of Judges, chapter 13 and in verse 20. Manoah in the book of Judges, chapter 13 and in verse 20. They had an encounter with God. The Bible says, for it came to pass, when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it, and they fell on their faces to the ground. The summary of that story is that they had been barren for years, and after that encounter, Manoah's wife got pregnant and delivered a child, a renowned child called Samson. Beloved brothers and sisters, today, as we begin this convention, I want you to make up your mind to have a tangible, life-transforming encounter with God. Because, as we see in the life of Manoah, one encounter with God turned their shame into fame. The encounters you shall have with God today shall turn your shame into fame in the name of Jesus. Anything that has been a reproach in your life or your destiny, God shall turn it around, and it shall be for your fame. It shall announce you to your generation in the name of Jesus. No one was ignorant of the child that Manoah and his wife brought forth in the land of Israel. He delivered the children of Israel. Oh yes, we know Samson as a man that made mistakes with Delilah and other women, but however it is, he ruled the land of Israel for many years, and in that period they had peace from the hand of the Philistines. Today, anything that has been a shame in your life, God is turning it around for your faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Number B, an encounter that Manoah and his wife had with God turn their barrenness into fruitfulness. I don't know if you've come in here today barren in the fruit of the womb, or barren in the fruit of your hands, or barren in the work that you do. Today, the fruitfulness of God shall visit your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God shall turn that barren situation into a fruitful situation. Spiritual sons and daughters shall come to your church as a pastor. Spiritual daughters and sons shall overflow what you do in the name of Jesus Christ. In your office, in your business, you shall be overwhelmed by the flock of men and women that will come in and bring with them their resources to you. The last time they said you are barren or unproductive or unfruitful is the last time forever. Somebody's key performance indices in their office is going up. They said you are not performing well before. After this conference, you shall be told, you shall be termed and called one of the best staff in that office, in that organization. If you are a believer, you will shout aloud, amen. The next person we'll look at, number four, is Elijah. Elijah was a man of encounters with God. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and in verse 1, 1 Kings 17, 1, the Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. And he held the rain for 3.5 years in Israel." He was a faceless, nameless entity. God's servant says, I've heard him say that many times, that he had no address. There was nothing ever mentioned about him before in scriptures. But he suddenly arrived and came before the king and said, before God whom I stand, he was a man of encounters. He was a man that had seen God, encountered God, heard from God, experienced God. He knew what God could do and what God would not do. He knew what God had said and the conditions that God would operate, and he had the boldness and the audacity to stand before the king and tell him, before God whom I stand. After this conference, somebody shall stand with audacity. Somebody shall stand before kings, stand before rulers, stand before principalities and powers, stand before the witches in your village and tell them, before God whom I stand. And that encounter shall not leave you the same way you came. If you are a believer, you shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat. And so, he declared that, and in verse 46 of that chapter 17, in verse 46 of that chapter 17, mind you, the rain had now been ceased, and he called them to an open confrontation. You call on your gods. I call on my God. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. God proved himself there. And then he now said to Ahab, go, it's about to rain. Go, quickly, before the rain catches you. Because if you are found on the road while the rain comes, you might be stopped right here in Jezreel. And what happened? In verse 46, the Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, And he gathered up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Kaparata shakataka leka. He ran before Ahab on his feet. We are talking about rising and rising by grace. We are talking about rising by grace, rising by grace. What happened? When the hand of the Lord came upon him, when he had another encounter, he took to his heels, or with his 2 feet, he outran the chariots of the king. Somebody is about to outrun those that have gone before you. Somebody is about to outrun those that have gone ahead of you. You are about to take over territories for God. Where they said others do not succeed, you shall step in there and you shall turn that place around. You shall step in there and you shall succeed. They said this kind of business does not work in this town. After today, by the encounter of God in this convention, you shall step in there. What did not work for others shall begin to work for you. If you are a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat for a minute. And so, Elijah went ahead and he outran the chariots of the king. That could have only been God. This morning, God's servant was leading a prayer in the early will I seek you, and shared with us how God would do things in your life that people will know that it could have only been God that did it. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? God is about to give somebody a husband. God is about to give somebody a wife. And people will look and say, it could only have been God that did this. Kashata ya da 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 da. God is about to give somebody a set of twins, children, and they will say, it is only God that could have done this. Makaya da 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 da. God is about to empower somebody and they'll say, does he own an oil block? Does he own an oil well? Where is the source of these resources? If there is a believer in this house, you shout aloud, amen. You will just be walking gradually, slowly, with dignity and integrity and humility, and then, bah! They say, what? Is this his aircraft? Bah! Is this his business? Bah! Is this her husband? Bah! Is this what he does for a living? God is about to mesmerize your generation. If there is a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Please take your seat. Let me keep to my time. Hallelujah. And so, point A. Shakatalada. Hallelujah. Point A. Elijah was an unknown man who became a national headliner. Nobody knew him before 2 minutes in the presence of the king. When he stepped out, his name was all over the headlines. 1 year, no rain. 2 years, no rain. 3 years, no rain. Everybody said, now Elijah, now Elijah caused this, you know. Now Elijah, he's the one that said it. I don't know what it is that God is going to do in your life. Very soon, they will say, now Bekio, now call your name, call your name, call your name, call your name. Sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Le-ke-te-ke-le-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm laying these words on you. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. B. Elijah, by his encounters with God, because in his own case, it was not one encounter, it wasn't two, it wasn't three. By his numerous encounters with God, he not only became a generational headliner, he not only outran the chariots of Ahab and the horses of the king, he eventually rose out into heaven by fire. We're talking about rising and rising. God is about to make you to practically be lifted up by the fire of the Holy Ghost in what you do. Fire of the Holy Ghost today marks the end of your crawling. It marks the end of your struggling. It marks the end of your borrowing. This conference marks the end of your sweating. It marks the end of your labor without results. Shikatakaya da 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 da. Lekoto shakataka la da ba. Leketekele ba 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 ba. I'm very serious about what I'm saying. I've been instructed to tell somebody that just like Elijah was not previously known, then suddenly no one could claim ignorance of his existence. As you get back to where you came from, that church that people don't know that there is a church on the streets, they don't even know that you are a pastor where you live. They don't know that this is a church building. The people who walk past, they didn't know it's a church building. After today, you shall not be inconsequential again. They shall not mistake you for another. They will recognize you even before your name is called. Very soon, you cannot just walk on the streets anyhow, because they will surround you, because they are going to be men and women that have heard your announcement. If you are a believer, you shout aloud amen, and please take your seat. Number 5 is Zacharias. Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. Verse 5, 6, and 7. I'm going to read up to 7a. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. I stopped there. This was a couple that had served God blamelessly, righteously. This morning, God's servant was preaching, and he talked about one of the young ladies that was sharing that was it an offense for her to maintain her purity before marriage, that her friends that were bad girls from the university had all married, blah, 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 and then she was encouraged, no, you are in the right path. And when God answered her, it was not an anyhow answer. How many of you remember Anna in scripture? Anna had no child. The Bible says Penina had children. And Penina will mock Anna and taunt her. I'm sure that in that house, in that compound, she'll be walking past. Some people, they call themselves women, oh, but now men they be. If you not be man, where your pikin be? I know a woman, she will stand with her. Is it right round they call it the other wife of her husband? We say, some people jealous me because of my beauty. What? When God decided to vindicate the woman she was mocking, when God decided to change the story of the woman she was mocking, this woman cannot face her in any direction. She cannot even look at her in any direction. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter who has mocked you, or that thing they used to mock you, God is about to use it to shine you. God is about to use it to vindicate you. If you are a believer in the house, you shout aloud, amen. Maybe they told you you are only giving birth to girl children. Watch and see what the girl children will do for your life. Maybe they say you didn't go to school. Go ahead and continue to sell that pepper. Under the encounter of God, your life and destiny will outshine those that went to school. God is about to give somebody a testimony that will transform your life. So Zachariah and his wife Elizabeth were under reproach. They were under reproach. They had been laboring and it looked like there was no reward. You know that kind of thing that are some mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters or uncles in the village say, you've been going to church. What has the church done for you? You've been serving God. What has this proved in your life? But after today, when God gives you an encounter, they will see what serving God can do in the life of a person. In the name of Jesus Christ. So point number A, Zechariah and his wife, there was the termination of years of labor without reward. And secondly, there was again the termination of barrenness. Barrenness shall be terminated in somebody's life in the name of Jesus. We'll look at Mary and then Paul the apostle and we're good to go. Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, and the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I'll stop there because of time. It was not understandable how God was going to take her as a virgin and birth a child through her. The angel said, don't worry. With God, all things are possible. What was the story of Mary's life? Number one, A, one encounter with God changed the course of her life and destiny forever. It was not business as usual. It was not, the outcome wasn't the same outcome with other girls of her age. Number B, one encounter with God ushered her into the privileged position as the mother of Jesus. Till today, people are still worshiping Mary. We are begging them, no. She was only a channel. But God is about to do something in your life. And like Paul the apostle, they came and they began to lie down and bow down. They wanted to worship him. And they cried and said, no, don't do that. We are human beings like you. God is about to make you outstanding in your generation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And then Paul the apostle in Acts chapter 9 verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. One encounter. He was a notorious killer. He killed the Christians. He killed people who professed Jesus. He was a Pharisee. He was so zealous on the other side. And then one encounter with God turned him around. The first thing he asked God is, Lord, what will you have me do? And then God gave him directions. And then, like God's servant has said all the time, he was not even in existence around with Jesus. He was not among his disciples. But when he had an encounter with God, the backliner, according to God's servant, became a frontliner. Do you know something today? Others might have started before you, but the encounter you shall be receiving in this convention shall take you from the back to the front. It shall take you from the back to the front. If you believe it, shout amen. And so A, in Paul's life, one encounter changed the entire course of his life. His life was totally turned around. He was a murderer. He became a savior. He was a savior. He saved souls. And then B, one encounter with God took him from the back to the front. I stop here by saying, what are the keys? Number one, desperation. Number two, unbroken focus. When God was to take Elijah up, you remember Elijah, the fireman? When God was to take him up, Elisha, who had been following him, he told him, if you see me when I'm lifted, then you will get a double portion of the anointing. And so he maintained focus, unbroken, unbreakable focus, and he saw it. Please, beloved brothers and sisters, we've come in here for this convention. It's not for socialization. It's not to say hello to all your friends that you haven't seen for a long time. It's not to get yourself acquainted with people that came from America and Cameroon and Ghana and all those places. No, it's a time to seek the face of God. Unbroken focus. I asked a young lady some time ago, I said, I noticed when you're in church, you don't even look left or right. She says she came to meet God. She just comes and she focuses straight ahead of her. She's in absolute concentration till the service is over. Will you be able to make a determination in your heart to be in absolute focus until this convention is over? so that you can connect and collect and receive all that belongs to you. See, some things are received. It just comes on you. A light just breaks. And if you allow yourself to be distracted, at the time when your light is coming, might be when you miss it. And finally, intense spirituality. Intense spirituality. As the word is coming, Father, I receive that word. Father, what are my action steps? You jot down your action steps. You write them down. You say, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. When I get back, this is where I'm going. And when this is in place, I believe that God shall grant you his help in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand up on our feet and give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.